Happy Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
It's Thursday.
Thursday morning.
Tomorrow is Friday.
Yay.
I know my days of the week.
It's Thursday. I'm glad to be here Thursday.
Yeah.
And good guest in studio today.
Of course. Yeah. He was excited.
In studio.
He's excited to be here, so I guess that's great. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for your support of the Coffee Hour. You can find more about Concordia, Wisconsin at cuw.edu or on our website, kfuo.org, in the sponsor section.
Live uncommon.
There you go. Are you going to ask me about my coffee today?
Yes. What coffee do you have today?
It is the last of our Peru. So there's no more in the house.
The last of Peruvian coffee? Is it Peruvian or is it just Peru?
I mean, the bag says Peru, but I'm assuming that it would be Peruvian coffee.
From Peru.
All those grammar rules.
So you need to stock up on more.
Well, we have
Peruvian
four
coffee.
Other kinds. Oh,
okay,
so I
well,
think we're good for a while.
Hold off on the purchases.
Yeah.
Well, that refers to being a consumer, and that's part of our subject today.
There you go. That was a good one.
Thanks. I worked on that.
Oh, yes.
30 seconds.
Wow.
Not even 10 seconds.
Impressive. I'm impressed. Yes, consumers. We are consumers of stuff every day. And as Christians, that can get a little complicated sometimes, maybe, when we're consuming media, radio, like what we're, hopefully this is good media.
Right. Yeah. That's why we do what we do. So
exactly.
That there's good content there.
Yeah. But what happens if something that sounds Christian isn't actually Christian? And how do we figure that out?
Exactly.
Yeah. So we have a guest in studio, Pastor Paul Beisel, pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Iowa Falls, Iowa, joining us to talk about this topic. And you also wrote a Lutheran Witness article about this. So we're going to share that later as well so people can talk about it. Tell us a little bit about what you do in Iowa. And you're in St. Louis actually doing some really cool stuff right now too then.
Right. Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
As you said, I am excited to be here. I'm a pastor, as you mentioned, in Iowa Falls, Iowa. Serve a congregation there in the Iowa District East. And we are a town of about 5,000 people, and so been there about 8 years. Eight and a half years now. And I am in St. Louis because I am in a PhD program, a reduced residency program here at Concordia Seminary. In the history of exegesis program. So just finishing the end of my second year of coursework. And we have to come to these two-week seminars twice a year for 3 years after doing a lot of the work and study and reading and everything before that. And then we come for 2 weeks and we get to talk about it. So this is the second week of this round.
Well, you're in good company. We like to talk, too. So
apparently.
Very good.
And talk about spiritual Trojan horses is the subject of your article. And what do you mean by spiritual Trojan horses? We're all familiar probably with the idea of a Trojan horse. But what do you mean by spiritual Trojan horses?
Okay, so I actually initially written this as something for my congregation, and it was written as a pastor who is concerned about the things that church members are consuming spiritually, things of a Christian nature, and taking the idea from the Trojan horse was the way that they were able to take over the city of Troy and overtake it by concealing themselves in something that they thought was a gift. So in the same way, we as Christians have to be careful that the media or music or speakers that we are listening to or reading don't actually contain false or impure theology and doctrine wrapped up in something that looks very Christian and is maybe seems very harmless. So that's kind of what the idea came from.
Are there it can be easy to kind of fall prey to this, especially if it looks on the surface like it's something that's really good, or you start reading and you're like, well, I think that's Christian and it sounds good, but I'm not really sure. Are there ways that we can approach media in looking through a Lutheran lens, or ways to exercise our discernment muscles so we know what we're getting into and can recognize when something isn't actually good and pure?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a lot of it's a matter of discernment. There are questions you can ask about the things you're reading or listening to. Who is the author? What is their background? Do they have what church body do they come from? What's their doctrinal tradition, their theological tradition? All of those things can have an influence, an impact on what they write and what they say, what kind of music that they're producing. So I think probably the easiest thing for anybody can do this is just maybe do a little research. We've all been to bookstores, Christian bookstores perhaps, or Barnes & Noble or something, and you see a whole section of devotional literature, Christian literature. Some of it's maybe good, some of it may not be so good. But what I kind of focus on in this article is trying to get past the glitter, as I mentioned, and see if there actually is gold underneath, see if it's something that's good. And you know, as a classic example of this that I mentioned in the article is Christian music. A lot of times people just assume that because something is of a Christian genre that they can trust it. You know, can you trust it? Is it you know, absolutely reliable? And so they'll listen to it and they'll think, oh, good, I'm listening to Christian music, or, oh, good, I'm reading devotional literature. But unfortunately, unwittingly, they don't necessarily intend to have that, to bring that into their mind or into their heart, but they might do it. And so you might, they might imbibe or consume some decision theology, or if they're reading somebody that comes from that theological tradition or background. An example that I give of a Christian song is I learned a lot of Christian songs when I was younger, going to camp, things like that. And some of them were harmless. A lot of them were harmless. Maybe not as strong as they should be. But every now and then, looking back, I could think of maybe a couple where here I was this high schooler. I hadn't studied theology. And here I was being given these different songs to sing. And then analyzing the words a few years later after I'd studied a little bit and realizing, oh, that wasn't really pure Lutheran theology that I was singing there. And that's dangerous. And that's the point in my article. It's dangerous to Christian faith to have these things come into us.
What is the danger in something like that?
Well, a lot of people, and I agree with this, believe that we are our faith is formed not just by you know, when we open up the Bible and we read it or we hear it preached, we're certainly formed in that way. But our faith is also formed by the prayers that we pray and the songs that we're given to sing. And so that's why as pastors and as musicians, it's why we have doctrinal review committees for, you know, Concordia or for things that are published. That's why we have a hymnal that's been through doctrinal review, because we care about, you know, because we understand that in consuming that or in singing or praying, that is actually forming our faith, and actually in a way that maybe even more so than just opening up the Bible sometimes and reading it. Or it's more subtle, I guess I would say.
Forming our beliefs.
Our beliefs, yeah. Mm-hmm. Forming our beliefs. So that's why I think we take that very seriously and want to make sure that people can trust what they're using, the resources. So, and I'm sure a lot of people have had that experience.
What are some signs that something might be, what are some red flags? What are some signs that something might be questionable and maybe even dangerous?
That's a really good question. Put me on the spot.
Well, here, let me give an example. You know, if we were comparing this to, comparing this to food, and you go down the aisle where all the breakfast things are, all the boxes, nutritious, part of a complete breakfast. But if you eat just that for breakfast every day, chances are that you're probably not going to maintain good health, physical health, if you're only eating that every day, because it's technically part of a complete breakfast, which may or may not even be really a complete breakfast.
Right. And here I would make a distinction between things that are maybe not false or overtly false or wrong, but are just maybe weak, like the like going and only eating fast food for your whole life. And things that are actually truly impure or false. And certainly one is less objectionable than the other. As far as red flags and things to look out for, I mean, let's take devotional literature, for instance, or inspirational literature. I think that's the word I used in the article. Inspirational literature, a lot of times you might have a book and the cover might be really nice and everything, and you think, oh, this looks really good. And as you read, maybe it's a lot of stories of somebody about somebody's life. That can be very interesting. I would say maybe one of the first things is, how are they using Scripture? How are they looking at Scripture? Are there things where they might be saying, well, this means to me, and then gives their kind of interpretation of it or gives their application. That can be a little dangerous when somebody's just asking, let me think about what this means to me. Well, that might mean a lot of things to you and to a lot of other people, but the real question is, what does it mean? What is the actual meaning of it? So you want to be on guard against that, I suppose. And you also want to be careful probably with things that are overly sensational, so that it's appealing more to the emotions than the actual, that's actually giving good teaching. Not that emotions aren't bad. They're neutral. But we recognize that even our emotions are affected by our sinful nature. So even though we don't negate that aspect, but we don't trust in them either.
Yeah. So. Well, we're all out of time.
Okay.
Pastor Beisel, thanks so much for being our guest in studio today.
Yeah, sure.
It's been great. Pastor Paul Beisel, pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Iowa Falls, Iowa, and author of Beware of Spiritual Trojan Horses on the Lutheran Witness blog online, and we'll share that link with the audio archive of the program.
You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golson.